Put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is William Federer, and we're going to be talking about the importance of prayer and of fasting in the history of our nation, and William has a wonderful talk on that. He's written a book on that subject. I think it's vitally important that we understand that we truly are involved in a spiritual battle. And there is no way in the world that we will be able to maintain the integrity of this nation if God does not continue to support us. And there is no way that we, through our own efforts, would be able to save this nation if God were against us. So, with that as a background, William, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Hey, Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
Well, you go right ahead and pick up the story. I think it's a very important story for everyone who loves America to hear.
Well, with the continual move toward us in a socialist direction, which people forget that socialism is what the Soviet Union was, United Soviet Socialist Republic, and the Nazis actually stands for National Socialist Workers' Party. So when you think of socialists, think of Nazi and Soviet Union. But as we continually move away from our form of government that the founders set up of a limited constitutional republic, we see that some of this is beyond our ability to fathom, and causes us to remember the founding fathers and the fate of America in the past, and how they had a tradition of turning to God in prayer. And so what I did is I put together a book. The title of the book is Prayers and Presidents. And I read through all the past presidents and their public papers and put all the references to their days of prayer, days of fasting, days of Thanksgiving, Christmas proclamations, into this book, so you get to see how America has called on God in the past. And in the introduction, I actually go before the presidents, and I talk about the colonial America and how the Pilgrims, Edward Winslow, recorded the Pilgrims' experiences, and he stated that drought and the like consideration moved not only every good man privately to enter into examination of his own estate between God and his conscience, and so to humiliation before him, but also to humble ourselves before the Lord together by fasting and prayer. And so this was the idea that it wasn't just a personal, private thing. It was also a public thing, that when things were really bad. They had this idea that God was an integral part of their lives, that when things were bad, they would have days of prayer. When things were really bad, they would have days of fasting and prayer. And when things turned around, they would have days of Thanksgiving, which highlights the fact that they were not deists. A classic deist believes that God created the laws of nature and left, and that prayer does not have any purpose because God won't intervene and change his laws. But the founders didn't believe that. They believed that there was an interactive relationship. In colonial Connecticut, settlers proclaimed by legal authority a day in early spring for fasting and prayer. the governor customarily selected Good Friday as the annual spring fast day. In 1668, the Virginia House of Burgesses in Jamestown passed an ordinance stating the 27th of August appointed for a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer to implore God's mercy. If any man be found upon that day gaming, drinking, or working, works of necessity excepted, upon presentment by the church wardens in proof, he shall be fined 100 pounds of tobacco. So, in 1668, you had an unusual punishment there for not observing a day of fasting. Yale College had as its requirement in 1787, all scholars are obliged to attend divine worship in the college chapel on the Lord's Day and on days of fasting and thanksgiving appointed by public authority. A notable day of fasting was in 1746. The French, this is right before the French and Indian War, the French Admiral Duke d'Anville had set sail for New England. He was commanding the most powerful fleet at the time, 70 ships and 13,000 troops. He intended to recapture Louisburg, Nova Scotia, and to destroy from Boston to New York all the way down to Georgia. The Massachusetts governor, William Shirley, declared a day of fasting and prayer, October 16, 1746, to pray for deliverance. In the Old South Meeting House there in Boston, Reverend Thomas Prince prayed, "Send thy tempest, Lord, upon the water, scatter the ships of our tormentors." Historian Catherine Drinker Bowen related that as he finished praying, the sky darkened, winds shrieked, the church bells rang a wild and uneven sound, though no man was in the steeple. A hurricane subsequently sank and scattered the entire French fleet. With 4,000 sick and 2,000 dead, including Admiral d'Anville, the Vice Admiral Esternelli threw himself on his sword. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote The Ballad of the French Fleet. And in there he says, "Admiral d'Anville had sworn by cross and crown to ravage with fire and steel our helpless Boston town. From mouth to mouth spread tidings of dismay. I stood in the Old South saying, humbly, let us pray. Like a potter's vessel broke, the great ships of the line were carried away as smoke or sank in the brine." Well, another day of fasting was in 1774, May 24th. It was Thomas Jefferson who introduced a resolution for a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer to be observed at the exact same day that the British were going to blockade Boston's harbor. The resolution was so popular that Robert Nicholas Carter, the treasurer, introduced the resolution in the Virginia House of Burgesses. It was supported by Patrick Henry, Richard Henry Lee, and George Mason. It passed unanimously. And in Thomas Jefferson's resolution says this, "This House, being deeply impressed with apprehension of the great dangers to be derived to British America from the hostile invasion of the city of Boston, our sister colony of Massachusetts, deem it highly necessary that the said first day of June be set apart by the members of this House as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, devoutly to implore divine interposition for averting the heavy calamity that threatens destruction of our civil rights. Ordered, therefore, that the members of this House do attend with the Speaker and the Mace." The Mace is that large pole with a thing on the top that signified authority, state authority. "To the church of this city for the purposes aforesaid, that the Reverend Mr. Price be appointed to read prayers and that Reverend Mr. Godwin to preach a sermon." And sure enough, there in Williamsburg, Virginia, on June 1st, they lined up in front of the House of Burgesses and walked down the street all the way to the Bruton Parish Church, where they had their day of fasting.
Bill, just hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. There, the American Freedom Network.
Cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, my guest this morning, Bill Federer, and we're just talking about the part that prayer and fasting have played in our nation's history. Go right ahead, William.
Well, it's a fascinating study, Dr. Stan, to see how this wasn't the churches, this was the government that was calling for prayer. So June 1st, 1774, in response to the Virginia House of Burgesses called for fasting, George Washington wrote in his diary, went to church, fasted all day. Now, Virginia's royal governor, Lord Dunmore, who was appointed by the king, interpreted this resolution and this day of fasting as a veiled protest against King George III and his policies, because he was the one deciding to blockade the Boston Harbor. So Lord Dunmore decided to dissolve the House of Burgesses and send them all home. Said no more business, and the legislators left and went to Raleigh Tavern. Now, that was the meeting place there in Williamsburg, named after Sir Walter Raleigh, who founded the colony. And there, these former House of Burgess members conspired to import no more food from or items from Britain, try to hurt their economy back, but also they decided to form a Continental Congress. And so the Continental Congress later decided to vote for independence, and so there's a direct line that had Jefferson not proposed this day of fasting, there would not have been a Continental Congress, and there wouldn't have been a declaration. But nevertheless, April 15, 1775, just 4 days before the Battle of Lexington, the Massachusetts provincial governor was led by John Hancock, and he declared, in circumstances dark as these, it becomes us as men and Christians to reflect that whilst every prudent measure should be taken to ward off the impending judgment, that 11th of May next shall be set apart as a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer to confess the sins and to implore forgiveness of our transgressions. Well, then Jonathan Trumbull was the governor of the state of Connecticut. Again, this is the colonial governor. But in April 19th of 1775, he sets a day of fasting. He says that God would graciously pour out his Spirit on us to bring us through to a thorough repentance and a reformation, that our iniquities may not be our ruin, that he would restore, preserve, and secure the liberties of this and all other British American colonies, to make the land a mountain of holiness and a habitation of righteousness. Well, months later, coming up to June, 1775, this is less than 2 months after the Battle of Lexington and Concord, where the shot was fired around the world. Now, John Hancock is the president of the Continental Congress. So he went from the governor of colonial Massachusetts to now he's the president of the Continental Congress. So John Hancock, June 12, 1775, has this resolution passed in Congress. It says, Congress, considering the present critical, alarming, and calamitous state, do earnestly recommend that Thursday, the 12th of July, next be observed by the inhabitants of all English colonies as a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer. that we may, with united hearts and voices, unfeignedly confess and deplore our many sins and offer up our joint supplications to the all-wise, omnipotent, and merciful disposer of events, that beseeching him to forgive our iniquities, it is recommended to Christians of all denominations to assemble for public worship and to abstain from labor and recreation on said day. Well, July 5th of 1775, Georgia jumps in, and the Georgia Provincial Congress passed a resolution. It says a motion that this Congress apply to His Excellency, the Royal Governor of Georgia, again appointed by the King, requesting him to appoint a day of fasting and prayer throughout this province on account of the disputes existing between America and the parent state. Well, July 7th, 1775, Georgia's provincial governor replies, "Gentlemen, I have taken the request made by a provincial Congress, and I must premise that I cannot consider that meeting as constitutional. But as the request is expressed in such loyal and dutiful terms, and the ends proposed being such as every good man must most urgently wish for, I certainly appoint a day of fasting and prayer to be observed throughout this province of Georgia." That was James Wright. July 12, 1775, in a letter to his wife, John Adams, from the Continental Congress, describes their declaration of fasting and prayer. John Adams writes, "We have appointed a continental fast. Millions will be upon their knees at once before their Creator, imploring His forgiveness and blessings, His smiles on American consul and arms." July 19, 1775, the Continental Congress journals recorded, agreed that Congress meet here tomorrow morning at half after 9 o'clock in order to attend divine service at Mr. Duché's church, and then in the afternoon they meet here to go from this place and attend divine service at Dr. Allison's church. March 6, 1776, from his headquarters at Cambridge, George Washington orders Thursday the 7th, being set apart as a day of fasting and prayer and humiliation, to implore the Lord and Giver of all victory to pardon our manifold sins and wickedness, and that it would please Him to bless the Continental Army with His divine favor and protection. All officers and soldiers are strictly enjoined to pay all due reverence and attention on that day to the sacred duties of the Lord of Hosts, for His mercies already received, and for those blessings which our holiness and uprightness of life can alone encourage us to hope through His mercy to obtain. March 16th, 1776, the Continental Congress passed without dissent a resolution presented by General William Livingston. Now again, this is March of 1776, so we just have April, May, June, and July. So this is just 3.5 months or so before they unanimously passed the declaration. The same Continental Congress declares, "Congress desires to have people of all ranks and degrees duly impressed with a sense of God's superintending providence and of their duty devoutly to rely on His aid, do earnestly recommend Friday the 17th of May be observed by the colonies as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may with united hearts confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease God's righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, obtain this pardon and forgiveness." Again, that was unanimously passed by the same Continental Congress that signed the Declaration. May 15th, Washington gets the order from Congress, and he turns around and gives it to his troops. He says, "The Continental Congress, having ordered Friday the 17th to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, humbly to supplicate the mercy of Almighty God, that it would please Him to pardon our manifold sins and transgressions, and to prosper the arms of the United Colonies, and finally establish the peace and freedom of America upon a solid and lasting foundation, the General commands all officers and soldiers to pay strict obedience to the orders of the Continental Congress, that by their unfeigned and pious observance of their religious duties may incline the Lord and Giver of victory to prosper our arms." A year later, April 12, 1778, at Valley Forge, General Washington orders the Honorable Congress, having thought proper to recommend to the United States to set apart Wednesday the 22nd to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, that at one time with one voice the righteous dispensations of providence may be acknowledged, His goodness and mercy toward our arms supplicated, the General directs that the day shall be most religiously observed in the army, and no work shall be done thereon, and that the several chaplains do prepare discourses. And again, Dr. Stan, you read this in our military, and to think that just recently the president said he wants to promote homosexuality in the military and wants to get rid of the don't ask, don't tell, and wants to had the Pentagon disinvite Franklin Graham, who was the chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, because he didn't want to insult Islam. And you know, people don't understand, in Muslim countries, when Muslims take over, non-Muslims are forbidden to insult Islam. And so when President Obama had the Pentagon disinvite Franklin Graham because Franklin Graham said something in the past which insulted Islam, the president is in effect establishing the dhimmi status in America, and especially in our military, submitting it to Islamic law, saying you cannot say anything to insult Islam. But jumping back into America's founding, 1780, at Morristown, General Washington orders Congress, having pleased by their proclamation of the 11th of last month, to appoint Wednesday the 22nd to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. There shall be no labor or recreation on that day. Chaplains will prepare discourses suited to the proclamation. And then, 1782, October 11th, the Continental Congress again says, it being the indispensable duty of all nations to offer their supplications to Almighty God, the United States and Congress assembled, do hereby recommend to the inhabitants of these states to observe the last Thursday, the 28th of November, as a day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all his mercies. Well, then we have the victory and the Battle of Yorktown, and then finally the Treaty of Paris, which ends the war, and John Hancock is now back in Massachusetts as their state governor, and he has a proclamation, November 8th, 1783. And John Hancock writes, the citizens of these United States have every reason for praise and gratitude to God for their salvation. I do appoint the 11th of December, a day recommended by the Congress of all the states, to be religiously observed as a day of thanksgiving and prayer, that all the people may assemble to celebrate that he hath been pleased to continue to us the light of the blessed gospel, that we also offer up fervent supplications to cause pure religion and virtue to flourish and to fill the world with his glory. And then New Hampshire, a neighboring state, the governor, John Langdon, proclaims a day of public fasting and prayer, February 21st, 1786. He writes, it having been the laudable practice of this state at the opening of the spring to set apart a day to assemble with one heart and voice, penitently confess their manifold sins and transgressions, and fervently implore the divine benediction that a true spirit of repentance and humiliation be poured out upon all, that he would be pleased to bless the great consul of the United States of America and direct their deliberations, that he would rain down righteousness upon the earth, revive religion, and spread across the abroad the knowledge of the true God, Savior of man, throughout the world. And all servile labor and recreations are forbidden on said day. Ben Franklin reflects at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. He says, in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Ronald Reagan commented on this in 1983. He says, in 1775, the Continental Congress proclaimed the first National Day of Prayer. In 1783, the Treaty of Paris officially ended the long, weary Revolutionary War, during which a National Day of Prayer had been proclaimed every spring for 8 years. Now we'll fast forward, and 1785, James Madison is in the Virginia legislature, and he introduces a bill, October 31st, for, quote, appointing days of public fasting and thanksgiving. And included in James Madison's bill was that if somebody violated it, the forfeiting of £50 for every failure not to have a reasonable excuse. So Madison, who was the one who introduced the First Amendment, was pretty serious that you should follow these days of public fasting. Now, this is an interesting piece of history. the Congress passed the Bill of Rights in the end of September 1789. Within a week, Congress asked George Washington to declare a day of Thanksgiving. So on October 3rd, 1789, President George Washington declares the first national, now that we're a nation, the first national day of Thanksgiving. And George Washington writes this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to assemble, peaceably to establish a form of government for their own safety and happiness, I do recommend the 26th of November to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be."
Hold that thought, Bill. We'll be right back here with William Federer.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Well, I understand back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Bill Federer. But Bill, before we go on, I want you to get at your website and tell people how they can get a copy of this book and your other books.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And the title of this new book is Prayers and Presidents. And inspiring faith from leaders of the past, prayers and presidents.
Well, I'm really looking forward to getting a copy of the book, and I think we'll probably carry it. But if you could go ahead and get it from Bill, why, that's fine. And the important thing is that people understand the relationship between prayer and the foundation of this nation. So pick up the story.
Well, and also the fact that this isn't churches. This is the government that was involved with this. But, you know, that first proclamation of Thanksgiving since we became a nation under George Washington, October 3rd, 1789, again, it was done the same week that Congress passed the First Amendment. And so, obviously, the fact that Congress is the one that asked Washington to do this, and Washington did it, that they did not see this as violating the First Amendment that they passed the same week. And in this Thanksgiving proclamation, Washington thanks God for the Constitution. He says that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere thanks for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, humbly offering our prayers to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseeching him to pardon our national and other transgressions. So here, he's thanking God for the Constitution is lately instituted for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And so, obviously, he would not be thanking God for them if those Constitution Bill of Rights forbade God. So we can see, again, that it's so important to have justices on the Supreme Court that want to interpret laws the way the founders intended them, and not the activist justices with empathy that want to just ignore the past and just simply make decisions from the bench, in effect setting themselves up as in a dictatorial role.
Anyway. And I think it's so important that people realize that there really is a conspiracy against God. There are people who hate the Christian religion, and many times they're placed in positions of power and a conscious, organized effort to undermine it. For instance, when President Obama declared that we would not have a day of prayer in this country, it was inappropriate. God bless Shirley Dobson for standing up to him. Go right ahead.
Well, we'll just jump back in. We had a whiskey rebellion in western Pennsylvania. There was a tax on whiskey, and the people didn't want to pay it. Washington, and they had a rebellion, and the people were saying, look, we just rebelled against the king because of taxes. We're going to rebel against this new government because of the taxes. Washington is the only president that got on horseback and led the army while the sitting president, and by the time he marched to western Pennsylvania, the rebellion dispersed. And a little known fact is that Washington decided to simply forgive those that led the rebellion. He did not have investigations, and he did not hang people as traitors. This was important. In France, when they had the revolution and people spoke out against it, the revolution would go out and kill the people. And so it was a different precedent that George Washington set that thankfully all presidents after that have allowed people to speak out against the government, and they were not thrown in jail or killed for doing that. And that's particularly of concern with all these federal prisons that are vacant around the country that even CNN talked about, that there could possibly be some disruption, maybe an agent provocateur or somebody that is wanting to push the president's agenda could have a crisis that could be blamed on, let's say, Tea Party people or Second Amendment people and or pro-life people, and the government would have an excuse to collect everybody that disagrees with the president and put them in camps. That's one of the concerns that even Glenn Beck talked about. So this is not something that's a right-wing conspiracy. This has gone mainstream. It's a concern of the people. But after the Whiskey Rebellion, Washington, thankfully, set a good precedent. George Washington proclaimed a day of prayer in 1796. He says, all persons within the United States to render sincere and hearty thanks to the great ruler of nations, particularly for the possession of constitutions of government, and fervently beseech the kind author of these blessings to establish habits of sobriety, order, and morality and piety. And so we'll fast forward again to John Adams. He's the second president. And then France decides to capture our ships on the open sea and impress our sailors and begin to threaten our sea commerce. And they decide they want extortion, and they'll stop. And we have a cry that goes off across America, millions for defense, but not a cent for tribute, that we're not into bribing people to leave us alone, paying off North Korea and paying off these different states to be nice to us. We didn't want to do that. We didn't want to pay off people under the table to be nice to us. We decided that we were going to stand up. And so John Adams has Washington be the commander of our troops again. He does it from Mount Vernon, but people little remember that Washington, the same year that he died, was the commander of the Continental Army there from Mount Vernon. But John Adams declares 2 days of fasting, in March 23rd, 1798, and then again March 6th, 1799. And here's an excerpt from John Adams's Day of Fasting. As the people of the United States are still held in jeopardy by insidious acts of a foreign nation, as well as by the dissemination among them of those principles subversive to the foundations of all religious, moral, and social obligations. And I just want to repeat that again. Here he is complaining that there are somebody's disseminating principles which are subversive to the foundations of all religious, moral, and social obligations. That sounds like Hollywood today, but anyway, this is John Adams. He says, I hereby recommend a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens call to mind our numerous offenses against the Most High God, confess them before him with sincerest penitence, implore his pardoning mercy through the great mediator and redeemer for our past transgressions, and that through the grace of his Holy Spirit, we may be disposed and enabled to yield a more suitable obedience to his righteous requisitions. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That was John Adams. And then we go to the fourth president, James Madison, and we have the War of 1812. And James Madison declares a day of prayer. Then the next year he declares another day of prayer. And then the British burn the White House, and he declares a day of fasting and prayer. And the significance of this is that James Madison was known as the chief architect of the Constitution. He wrote many of the Federalist Papers convincing the states to ratify the Constitution. James Madison introduced the First Amendment in the first session of Congress.
Hold the thought. We'll be right back here at the American Peace Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I guess this morning, Bill Federer. Bill, we're on the last segment. Go right ahead.
Well, here's James Madison. The British burn the White House. He declares a day of prayer, and he says, I do recommend rendering the sovereign of the universe public homage, acknowledging the transgressions which might justly provoke his divine pleasure, seeking his merciful forgiveness, and with reverence for the unerring precept of our holy religion, to do to others as they would require that others should do to them. Well, that is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Golden Rule: do unto others as you should do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so he calls this the unerring precept of our holy religion. So he is referring, obviously, to Christianity as our holy religion. James Madison, when the British burnt the White House and the Library of Congress and the Capitol, August 25th, 1814, the sky grew dark and clouds rolled in that afternoon and winds picked up and a tornado touched down, knocking over chimneys and blowing off roofs and shingles on the British soldiers, picking up cannons and throwing them yards away, and lightning flashing and the British troops fleeing in confusion. And one British historian wrote, more British soldiers were killed by this stroke of nature than from all the firearms the Americans could muster in the feeble defense of their capital. And as the British forces fled, rains extinguished the fires that they set. And as a result of that is when Madison declares the day of fasting. He says, November 16, 1814, in the present time of public calamity, a day may be observed by the people of the United States as a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer to Almighty God for the safety and welfare of these states, of confessing their sins and transgressions, and of strengthening the vows of repentance that he would graciously be pleased to pardon all their offenses. We're not talking Old Testament stuff here. This is the founding of America. 1832, an Asiatic cholera outbreak gripped New York. Henry Clay requested Congress for a joint resolution to request the president to set a day of public humiliation, prayer, and fasting to be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnity. 1841, the president dies, William Henry Harrison. The 10th president takes over, John Tyler. His first act is to issue a day of fasting. When a Christian people feel themselves overtaken by a great public calamity, it becomes them to humble themselves under the dispensations of divine providence. I just want to point out, this is 1841, and the president calls the country a Christian people. 1849, a cholera epidemic. Zachary Taylor's the 12th president. He, July 3rd, 1849, has a day of fasting. He says, the providence of God has manifested itself in the visitation of a fearful pestilence which is spreading itself throughout the land. It is fitting that a people whose reliance has ever been in his protection should humble themselves before his throne, acknowledging past transgressions, and ask a continuance of divine mercy. It is recommended that the first Friday in August be observed throughout the United States as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. And then 1860, right before the Civil War, James Buchanan has a day of fasting. He says, in this hour of calamity and peril, to whom shall we resort for relief but to God, the God of our fathers? His omnipotent arm only can save us from the awful effects of our crimes. Let us unite in humbling ourselves before the Most High, in confessing our individual and national sins. Let me invoke every individual in whatever sphere of life he may be placed to feel a personal responsibility to God and his country for keeping this day holy. The Civil War starts. The Unions lose the Battle of Bull Run. Lincoln proclaims a day of fasting, August 12, 1861. It is fit to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to his chastisement, to confess and deplore their sins and transgressions in full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, do appoint Thursday in September as a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting for all the people of this nation. Then Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation in January of 1863. 2 months later, March 30th, in 1863, Lincoln has a day of fasting. He says, the awful calamity of the Civil War may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have forgotten God. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power and confess our national sins. That was Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Lincoln was shot. Andrew Johnson takes over as the 17th president, and his first act is to issue a day of fasting and prayer. In 1865, he writes, the 25th of next month was recommended as a day of special humiliation and prayer in consequence of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. But whereas my attention has since been called to the fact that the day aforesaid is sacred to large numbers of Christians as one of rejoicing for the ascension of the Savior, now I, Andrew Johnson, President of the United States, do suggest that the religious services be postponed until the 1st of June. Then we fast forward to World War I, where Woodrow Wilson is the president. On May 11th, 1918, he writes, it being the duty peculiarly incumbent in a time of war, humbly and devoutly to acknowledge our dependence on Almighty God and to implore His aid and protection, I, Woodrow Wilson, proclaim a day of public humiliation, prayer, and fasting, and do exhort my fellow citizens of all faiths and creeds to assemble on that day to pray Almighty God that He may forgive our sins. Can you imagine a president today even saying what a sin is? It seems like, what is it, maybe not recycling? but back then, it was the sins that would be identified in the Bible. World War II, Franklin Roosevelt, D-Day invasion of Normandy, June 6, 1944. He has a broadcast prayer over the radio. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day has set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, to set free a suffering humanity. Help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in Thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Now, he says, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion. What religion is he talking about? Well, Franklin Roosevelt was Episcopalian. His whole life he was. He had an Episcopal minister preside at a service after each of his inaugurations. And it's clear that he's talking about the Judeo-Christian faith. Polls show in 2008, a Pew Religious Landscape survey, that 90% of Americans believe in God, but 78% of Americans are Christian. 78%. And that's 52% Protestant, about 25% Catholic, and 2% Eastern Orthodox or other.
Hey, we're out of time, Bill. Thanks so very much. God bless. We'll look forward to talking to Bill soon.
Thank you, Dr. Bye. Mann. Prayers and President.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Jambalaya's reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stanton, and I just wanted to remind you that God does rule in the affairs of men, and if God is with us, we'll certainly prevail. But if God is not with us, why, we will certainly fail as far as maintaining our freedom. And when we have leadership that hates God, and believe me, the conspiracy we talk about is really a conspiracy against God. These people worship a different God. And they want to destroy our nation. That's why they're sending our manufacturing and our jobs overseas, offshoring manufacturing, outsourcing jobs, sending our wealth overseas, spending us into oblivion, taking us into war after war. They really hate this nation because at one time it was blessed by God. So you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I think that William has done a wonderful job in reminding us of the religious heritage of this nation. And until you understand that America was founded by Christians as a Christian nation, yes, the occult forces were here, but they had to hide everything. They have to work in darkness. That's why they hid on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, the emblem that today is proudly displayed on the back of our dollar bill, an emblem of Satan. And the eye in the circle, in the triangle above the unfinished pyramid is the eye of Lucifer. And the caption on the back of the dollar bill, "In God We Trust." Nobody ever asks, what God are they talking about? Because most people don't understand that we're up against the Gnostic belief that there are two gods, and the most mighty one is Lucifer himself. Understand we are involved in a spiritual battle, and make sure that you have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we do hope, of course, that you want to get the material that we put forward, certainly my talk on the forbidden secret of the secret, on the financial Armageddon, how they are intentionally destroying the finances of this country. Because if you destroy the financial foundation of the monetary system of a nation, you destroy the nation. And I believe that they want to do to this country what they have done to Zimbabwe, and we are still financing Mugabe and keeping Mugabe in power in Zimbabwe, although half the people in the country have fled and the rest live in abject fear and starvation and abject poverty. And remember, those are American tax dollars at work. Could that happen in America? And I would ask, if God is just, why couldn't it happen in America? And that's why I hope you'll join in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Because if you're not involved, who will be? And if not now, when? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We need your help to get my book out, to circulate our newsletters, to get people listening to our radio programs. You can hear them 9 hours a day at RadioLiberty.com on the Internet, RadioLiberty.com. Most of our programs are available on shortwave, on the Internet, on the satellite, or go to RadioLiberty.com for more information. And help us awaken the American people to the imminent danger. We're going to war with Iran. When it is, I don't know, but there's no question they're preparing us for another terrible and bloody war. And out of war comes changes. When you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And believe me, it's going to bring terrible suffering to the people of Israel as well when we enter this war. The leaders of Israel are traitors to their country, just as the fact that there are people in high positions in America who hate this country. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective.